Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast, presented by Dr. Joey McDonald.
The scripture reading for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and verses 44 through 52. Matthew 13 marks a turning point in the ministry of Jesus. In this chapter, he begins talking about God's kingdom by telling parables. The disciples asked Jesus why he was speaking in parables, and he answered that through parables he is able to reveal the mysteries of the kingdom. This then is Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 33, and verses 44 through 52, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Through the selection of verses today, you will hear six parables. Here is the first. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. This is the second. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. And a third parable. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And a fourth parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The fifth parable. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous, and throw the wicked into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. And here comes the sixth parable. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. May the Lord bless to our use through Pastor Joey's message this reading of his holy word.
Pray with me if you will, dear friends. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come with the fire and burn. Come with the rain and cleanse. Come with the wind and breathe. Come with the light and reveal. Convict us, convert us, consecrate us. Claim and call us with your care and concern until we do something. As Bill shared with you, this is a continuation of an earlier reading. I think 2 weeks ago we read from this passage a few sentences earlier where Jesus is speaking principally in parables. Parables were an important part of biblical narrative. They were used to impart spiritual wisdom, allowing the listeners to reflect on the power of story, especially where God might be in terms of story, God's story and ours. Here Jesus uses several different parables to speak to what the kingdom of heaven might be like. The first compares it to a mustard seed, the smallest of seeds, yet when it becomes mature, it becomes a large tree-like plant and home to many birds. In another, Jesus compares the kingdom to yeast hidden in a bushel of wheat until it leavens all of the dough. And yet again, Jesus compares the kingdom to a treasure hidden in a field until someone found it and bought the field. Another parable has people casting a net for fish, bringing in the net, they separate the fish, putting the good ones in jars and throwing the bad ones away. At one point, Jesus asks those listening if they understand, and they respond that they do. He then says, therefore, every legal expert who has been trained as a disciple for the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings old and new things out of their treasure chest. So many parables, each pointing to some understanding of what the kingdom of heaven might be like. Why did Jesus speak in story? Because he was a person of the book. The book, of course, is the Jewish Testament. Remember that the Second Testament what we call the New Testament, had not yet been written. What we have here in Matthew's Gospel is perhaps as late as the 2nd century Common Era. The people Jesus was teaching and preaching to were literate in a different way than you and me. This is in principle why he spoke in story, using language that at some level painted a picture for them. Now, we as moderns grew up with parables. Think of the things that your parents, your grandparents, your coaches or teachers said to you. Some of it confusing, maybe even a little confounding. All of it profoundly true at some level, with some great depth to it. Just a few from my parents. I'm sure you have your own. They said time and again, "Son, it is a long road that doesn't have a turn." I didn't know what it meant for years. I just thought it was parent gibberish. Now I, of course, do. They said this, partly to remind me that your own personal integrity is worth something. And you can tell that it's dated because $50 million isn't so much anymore. But they said, never take anything that is worth less than $50 million. And they'd say this time and again, it's time to fish or cut bait. And this as well. Measure twice, cut only once. It was years before I learned what these phrases meant. Yeah, I was a slow learner at some functional level. To me, the teachings of Jesus, especially the parables, are mostly about story, about connection and integrity, being true to what you know about the love of God in Jesus, especially in life. In this 21st century, we live in a world with fake news and phony people and false advertising. It just abounds. Just the other day, I was reading an article about a cheesemaker in Pennsylvania. Remember that my family hails from Pennsylvania, so I'm certainly not picking on the homeland. But this cheesemaker was being fined by the Food and Drug Administration for making Parmesan cheese that had a filler that turned out to be sawdust. But no Parmesan cheese, just cheaper grades of cheese. Parmesan, as those of you with culinary tastes know, is an expensive grade cheese. I thought, really, why would you do that? And then I asked myself, what good does it do to read the label if what they say is in there isn't in there? Well, every now and then, what is advertised as genuine is in fact the real deal. Without consulting me, Bill Varney pointed to this. He talked about Dr. Jean Gallet. He was here for, I think, 2 years of, 2 or 3 years of Dr. John Nagel's service, and for, I think, 9, pushing forward, working with Tony Yim, who was a pastor here. Jean Gallet was a giant in our church nationally for about 30 years. And as Bill so aptly pointed, he had great character and he was a bit of a character. He was an evangelist by trade and a very good one. The churches he served all grew. They all grew. He was the head of the Board of Evangelism for, I think, 10 years. And then he tried to retire and failed miserably. He went on to be an associate here and other places, and just was a great guy. And as an aside, what Bill pointed to in this hot valley that we live in, which we forget is a desert, he was trying to chill out a little bit, and there he was in the kiddie pool. And with humor and grace, Bill illustrated that sometimes people come to visit and you just have to be open to it. I don't know how many more we have that were touched by Dr. Golay. I wrote my doctorate 31 years ago in some principle measure based on his teachings. Unfortunately, we can't get into people's homes anymore to do evangelism, so we have to do it at the library or at the grocery store or at the off-ramps of the freeways. We have to figure out how to do that, how to be intentionally invitational. And as a side, we have to learn that part of evangelism is making sure that we can laugh and have grace. A couple of weeks ago, my wife invited my niece, our niece, Bridget, and her three young ones. I think they're 7, 5, and 3. So they're a bit of a handful, over to Aaron and Ian's house to swim in a real pool. And they had their water wings and everything, and it was wonderful. And Sue and Aaron were entertaining the younger ones. And I was just chatting with Bridget. And we were sitting there under an awning and by the kiddie pool. Not a tiny kiddie pool, meaning there were two rings, and so there was plenty of water. And the chair I was sitting in is one of those very inexpensive plastic chairs, and I was on grass, and somehow in slow motion, my chair collapsed. And I was not in a bathing suit. I was in, well, sort of like what I'm wearing now, only I was wearing jeans. And in slow motion, Bridget witnessed her uncle fall backward into the pool, and I was soaked to the bone. Now, those of you who know me know I can be wrapped tight. Somehow, I just laughed. I let go and laughed, and my phone was wet, my wallet was wet. I wasn't a hot mess, I was a wet mess. And Sue turned from entertaining the little ones as I had just stood up, and she looked at me and said, "What happened?" And I said, "I fell in the pool." And she said, "Rats, I missed it." And those of you who know Sue know that she meant nothing malicious by that, other than it would have been a sweet moment for her to witness her beloved making an error like that, because I'm somewhat uptight. I can swim, but I don't swim. That's why I wasn't in a bathing suit. And so somehow the message, parabolic or not, needs to be that we need to have good humor in whatever we're doing. And by the way, another part of Dr. Eugene Golay, he lived to 97, and he played golf, as far as I know, until he was 97. He was always dressed impeccably, and his wife, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he never asked her to change, he was always a Methodist. She would come to him, to church events with him, but she was a practicing Seventh-day Adventist. She lived to be 104. So there's another bit of grace in this. So in the midst of a life that can be harsh and mean-spirited even, we see reality and grace occasionally. This Friday afternoon, I was listening to a program on National Public Radio hosted, it's titled The World by WGBH in Boston, and it's hosted by Marco Werman. He was interviewing Bob Bergen, a voice actor who is the voice of Porky Pig. and Tweety Bird. Marco was asking him to reflect on the life and character of voice actor June Foray, who died this week at age 99 or 100. It depends on which obit you read. She, by the way, was the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Natasha, and Granny, the owner of Tweety Bird. Why this is important is, you know, we hear people who can be difficult. And she was anything but. Mr. Bergen, who is a good bit younger than me, said he is the face of the new generation of voice actor. He shows up in shorts and a t-shirt, while Ms. Foray would show up like she was going to a ball, always elegant. And he said, remember, she started in radio. She was always full of grace and charm. It was so refreshing to hear about June Foray, as she is and will continue to be in people's hearts and minds. So the kingdom of God is. It's you and you and you, and sometimes even me. It is a living and loving, thoughtful reminder of the manner in which we are to live and move and breathe. I had a seminary professor who talked of Jesus and the parabolic sayings and said, what Jesus is doing in the parables is opening a window or opening a door that you might see something in a different way. That is the power of story. Each of us here has a story. You're here because this is where you want to be. There are others out there waiting to be invited to the party. We just have to figure out how to invite them. Some, it's going to mean that we have to go and talk to them personally. That's what Jean Gaulet was so good at. That's why Charlton Heston, even though you disliked his politics, and I'm one who will say I did not like his politics, but I loved his character and his willingness to speak for what he believed. So we have to find the ways and means to speak to people in kind and gentle ways, intentionally invitational, without browbeating, just saying there's another way to do this. Otherwise, we're just people who are spoiled brats yelling at one another. God invites us to a new understanding, to a thoughtful place. That song by Jack White says it. Love is the truth. That's pure. That's honest. And we know how to do that. So let's find a way. Not just here, but even at the gas station, even on the freeway, even at the grocery store. Let's find a way to speak the truth in love, to model the Master. May it ever be so. Amen.